There she is. Hey, hey, how are ya?
Okay, there you are. Hello, hello.
Hello, hello. Welcome everybody to Dr. Dean Live here Monday, 7 p.m. streaming on YouTube and of course then distributed all throughout the world by our most powerful and amazing social media team headed up by Elena Langford. Thank you, Elena, for all you do. And thank you, Carolyn, for being here on this very auspicious day. It is a day you've been journeying toward for a long time. And we're going to talk a little bit more about that later. I know that you've got a brain busting full of great things you want to say tonight. How would you like to get started?
Yes, that's perfect, actually. Perfect introduction, because I had a light bulb moment. Occasionally, a little light switches on in my brain, and I get some neat thoughts. Okay, so here it is. Technology has mostly been about wanting to have power over nature. We wanted to play God, a small g God, and be in control. But our ultimate destiny, I think, is to explore the power of our own body and our own selves.
Yeah.
And I don't say small g God, Ginny, to be blasphemous, but I've always thought of these words that Jesus said, "The works that I do shall he do also, and greater works than these shall he do."
Absolutely.
Seriously, I just realized a few minutes ago that that's probably why I began saying when I was very young that I was looking for the great work.
Yeah, I mean, great.
In my Baptist upbringing, I took that in. So the great work is where we are today. And yes, we'll get to that. So in general, instead of doing great works, we humans put machines in control and other people in control of us. And we forget how to do things for ourselves. We diminish ourselves. The machines we come to depend on are making us more like machines and not the image of small g God. Everyone needs a mentor and someone to look up to. And for some people, yeah, that's God and Jesus. So putting ourselves in a power position is the ultimate goal. You can put yourself back in charge of your own body. And luckily, you have our formulas as the perfect building blocks to make this happen. I think a lot of people are coming to this realization at this point in time because so many institutions and professions have failed us. When your doctor doesn't know anything about nutrition or supplements or writes you off because of your age, do you give up or do you take charge? That's where we are right now in our development as ascending humans. Our empowerment is our own to make and to take. It's not going to be given to us. So when I was thinking about these thoughts, just to make it personal, I realized that I've been putting off doing a day and a half of fasting for ages.
No.
I'd start and feel a little bit hungry, and then I'd argue with myself and say, why am I depriving myself? I can eat anything I want anytime. But the better way of looking at that type of scenario, the, you know, the evil twin on your shoulder, is to frame it in a different way and say, I'm powerful enough to overcome those limiting voices in my head that sabotage my plans and goals. So that was my that was my light bulb moment. And I get it when I'm walking in the morning or just keeping my mind empty and not on my phone.
All right.
So let's turn it over to you, Ginny, to talk about what you want to talk about. And it may start with our library, or maybe you have a comment on what I've said.
Well, I love the greater works, and I think that's fantastic. And Jesus even said, know ye are also gods. And so that idea, the Apostle Peter said, God has given us all things that pertain to life and godliness. And you can feel my pastor coming out. But so many of the things you said, Carolyn, make perfect sense. And all things that pertain to life mean every single cell in our body. Those have all been given to us for our stewardship. And through your work and through your products and through everything that you've taught us, we can become very good stewards of our body. And you're absolutely right. We don't have to give our power over to machines. So I absolutely love that. And I think it's a powerful opening for today's show, because that's where people are. Our country's inspired. And a lot of people are elevated in the thoughts about what we can do to make America healthy again, and what we can do for ourselves to be empowered and to meet the challenge of this environment that we live in and all the technology that's around us. I know that we talk a lot about your library when we open up the show, and we can talk about that too if you'd like to go forward, because I think the mental health book that you've written is also very important to what you were talking about. Having a firm decision, having a clear mind, and how to accomplish that.
Right. So many people of late are talking about the stress and the mental health and even the TikTok business. You know, what some people are concerned about TikTok is that it's brainwashing the young people and creating memes in their head where they feel less than. I don't know that nutrients can turn that around, but that's something that we do have to address. But what I know about mental health and taking nutrients, and you know, the FDA won't let us say that vitamins and minerals can help anything to do with disease, but we talk about ourselves. So to support ourselves, to replenish the nutrients that are being burned off with constant stress and anxiety and feelings of hopelessness. This is what we're doing with our formulas and our nutrients. We're replenishing ourselves because the nutrients are being burnt off. And I think that's the best way of looking at what we're approaching with the mental health book, as well as EFT tapping to try to restructure the way we look at things, to reformat our brain. And meditation, prayer, exercise, all these things are very important. And you may think, well, you know, so what with exercise? But seriously, any research that's been done on exercise and diet has shown that it improves your physical and mental health. Right. So just start doing it. Right. So that's our mental health book. And let's go into the blog for this week. It's another mental health blog, right, Ginny?
Yes. What can I do for my mental health? And those blogs are covered at drcarolyndean.com, drcarolyndean.com. And we invite you to go there. Melody Rose is posting the link on our chat line, and to look at the blog so that you can learn more about what else can be done. We've talked about magnesium, Carolyn, and the importance of magnesium in those neurons, and also all the different types of things you spoke about in the book. So this week's blog features a few more tips that you have to share with people.
Very good. And then let's jump into MAHA, because that's where we both want to be. So what are we addressing today?
Okay. Well, what we do every week is we talk about Make America Healthy Again. And then we talk about what Dr. Dean has already been doing for 50 years to make America healthy again. And some of the key positions of the Make America Healthy Again movement that Carolyn has been part of or has featured in her own work. And the prevention of chronic disease through natural health solutions is a big part of this agenda, and opening up the freedom of choice, and also teaching people how to use natural resources for their health, Carolyn.
Right. And we know this is possible. Actually, I already stumbled into it by talking about every study on exercise and diet shows that it's beneficial for your health. But Ginny and I have to be really careful with our words, because the FDA sends their AI robots to sift through our words to make sure we don't say or even imply that certain vitamins or minerals can treat disease. They've told me personally that only drugs treat disease. And if I persist in saying my magnesium can treat a disease, then I'm making a health claim. And I'll say these words every week to remind people that we are operating in a very restrictive environment. And only the public can make the right kind of noise to stop this.
Yeah, 100%.
Yeah, 100%. Prevention of chronic disease through natural health solutions, water. Try to get a chlorine fluoride water filter and then add sea salt to replace 72 trace minerals. I think most people can do that. And the amount of water, take your body weight, cut that in half, and drink that many ounces of water a day. And in each quarter liter of water, put a quarter teaspoon of a good colorful sea salt. Number two, food. It should be as organic as possible to avoid the incredibly dangerous pesticides and herbicides and fungicides that are, they're neurotoxins. Even supposedly innocuous hand sanitizers that we were forced to use in the COVID years became neurotoxic to some people, and I'm seeing them. Organic food can be accessible if you search for a local community-supported agriculture group, CSAs. You can join one or start your own with a local organic farmer. You have to start doing that. But all food is still deficient in nutrients, and partly because it's been farmed out, but also because of the massive stress we are under that requires more nutrients. So that's why I recommend food-based vitamins, picometer-sized stabilized mineral ions, and in the right quantities, actually, to be able to resupply your cells and keep them healthy. And, you know, to create the energy we need to run our metabolic processes. So we're under more stress and we need more nutrients. And I don't know if many people are taking that into consideration. And then, of course, the exercise and good sleep that you should strive for. I mean, just walking every day for 15, 20 minutes is going to be beneficial. So that's just a few of the natural health solutions, but it's the basics. I mean, if you just look at those three or four things, then you're on your way. It doesn't have to be detailed. You don't have to think about, oh, I've got to detox, I've got to fast, I've got to get this machine or whatever. No, our formulas, organic food, exercise, good sleep, and sea salt water.
Yeah.
And off you go.
That's so wonderful. And now, what about ultra processed foods and seed oils and that kind of thing? I mean, how do you suggest making these radical changes? I mean, like, everybody thinks that eating a salad is healthy, but they don't understand that they've just slathered seed oils all over their lettuce because all of the processed, you know, like ranch dressing and everything is full of seed oils.
Right. I mean, we've known about this for a long time, but it's only recently come to the fore. Seed oils are sunflower, safflower, corn, soy, canola, those types of oils. And they are high in omega-6 fatty acids. We need a little bit of omega-6 fatty acids, but we need a lot more omega-3s, which are fish oils or algae oil. So when we've gone to the cheap oils, the sunflower, safflower, and take too much of them, we create an inflammation in the body. They are pro-inflammatory. So a little bit is okay, but too much is causing our joints to stiffen and tighten up. So it is a matter of maybe taking your olive oil dressing with you to a restaurant. I mean, that's a simple tip that you can do. And reading labels, you really get to look at those labels. Oh, here's an organic snack. Turn it over to the ingredients. And seriously, it can have three different omega-6 fatty acids. And it can also have a lot of sugar hidden. So start reading labels. I mean, these are things I've been saying for 45 years. So actually, that gets me to the RFK Jr. effect, where the FDA is now banning red dye number 3. So it's the colorings and dyes that you have to look for on the ingredients box. And, you know, the FDA, I don't know what their game is. It's like in cosmetics, Jenny, they banned red dye number 3 35 years ago. And they waited till yesterday right. to ban it in food. And it was just, I guess, to get on top. Well, we banned it. You know, we're good.
Right.
And it's the effect of knowing that RFK is going to come along and say, well, you got to do this. You got to ban these dyes and preservatives and all the rest of it. In Europe, I think most people know that you can travel in Europe and eat a lot of the food there that doesn't cause any side effects because they don't have the level of adulterants in their food.
They don't even allow, we were in Ireland last year, they don't even allow GMOs in Ireland. You're not even allowed to grow them. But then it's interesting too, when you think about, you know, food sizes and types. I mean, the strawberries are very small and you see those huge, massive strawberries that we get in the store here and they last forever. But these are very small strawberries that don't last, look great after like 2 days. We got some on our, you know, welcome tray in the hotel room. And so you can see the difference between what genetic engineering does with food, but then you feel better when you don't eat that food.
Yeah. Yes, that's quite interesting you bring that up, Jenny, because on our farm over here in Maui, our strawberries from our greenhouse are little tiny, you know, small ones, and they're just dense and delicious. I slice them up, you know, little one, I slice like 8 slices and put that in salads or in my avocado, banana, coconut cream pudding with cacao. And it's amazing. One tiny little slice, it's like equivalent to one of those great big things. When you cut a big strawberry open, in the middle, it's all empty.
Empty.
It's just like, yeah, it's all like a piece of cardboard.
Yes, it's all looks and no flavor. Yeah. So, you know, these are the things that we've got to get away from because all looks and no flavor also means no substance, no real nutrition, as you've already pointed out, Carolyn. I mean, there's just nothing in the food. Now, let me ask you, somebody tapped in.
Just going to jump in because you mentioned GMOs. The reason you're eating organic is to avoid GMO foods right. as well, not just all the pesticides and herbicides.
Right.
It's to avoid genetically modified foods that when they're studied in animals, they show health effects, negative health effects. But for some reason, they're not being studied too much here in the U.S., but we know to avoid them.
Very good. Now, a couple of questions that have been popping up since we've been talking. Number one, can you just eat regular sunflower seeds? Are you going to have that kind of effect from just eating sunflower seeds?
No, because it's not processed. You're not going to eat enough to overload yourself. I mean, how many sunflower seeds can any one person eat? So you get back to the basics and you have the fiber with it. That's the whole thing about even just juicing things or, you know, grinding them down and taking out one part of it. If you have the whole seed or vegetable or fruit, you're getting what nature intended. You're not getting, you know, an imbalance.
Right. And I think that's one of the things about the accusations about like pop and things like that. It's okay to have a little tiny smidge of sugar, but it should have fruit fiber with it. It's supposed to be balanced out. Now, also, do you have any tests that you use or know of food tests that where you could know that something was inflammatory and not good for you?
I don't think there's such a test. I mean, they're just lists of what are omega-6 fatty acids. So no, there's no test like that.
Okay, very good. Very good. And also a couple people on the chat line, be sure to watch the chat because they're saying different places where you can buy organic seeds if you want to grow little tomatoes and stuff like that on your deck. If you can't be part of a community organization or maybe that's too much, but you want to grow some heirlooms, Karen's saying that you can go to, I think she's saying Seed Savers Exchange for organic heirloom seeds. And also Melody Rose said that there's a delivery service in her area that delivers fresh farm produce to your door. It's like Instacart, right? So how great would that be? Instead of getting a bag of Fritos from Instacart, you get a bag of delicious vegetables from your local food wagon. So these are all things that you'll search out through your commitment, right, Carolyn? Because the more committed you get to this, the more these opportunities also present themselves, I think.
Yeah, take responsibility.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. All right, my good friend, what else would you like to talk about this evening?
Okay, let's do a book review.
Okay,
This one is, I see these book reviews or books and I get all excited. So this one is called Brain Energy by Christopher Palmer, MD. I downloaded it because I wanted to find out if he mentioned the fact that each brain neuron has 2 million mitochondria that powers the brain with ATP energy molecules, and each ATP has a magnesium ion attached. Remember, the book is called Brain Energy. What did I find? Uh-oh. The doctor mentioned magnesium 2 times.
Oh, dear.
2 times. He did mention mitochondria, how many times? 963 times.
Oh, wow.
Big on the mitochondria. But what do the mitochondria do? They make energy. And what do they make it with? Magnesium.
Right.
So I thought, well, maybe I'll read the book. I just returned it so quick. So he mentioned mitochondria 963 times. There was a whole chapter on mitochondria, no mention of 2 million mitochondria in each neuron and the incalculable number of magnesium ions that would be required for proper brain energy.
Right.
So I didn't even bother. I mean, what I saw in the book chapters was, you know, all the reasons that the mitochondria could be failing. Oh, the toxins, everything that I've mentioned already, and just, avoid this one. Nothing about magnesium. I do not know how these people live their lives without knowing about magnesium. So then I looked, and I've done this before, I looked for the amount of ATP we make every day.
Oh, wow.
And I've always found this number incredibly huge. So yeah, listen to this, Jenny.
Okay.
A human uses about 110 to 165 pounds of ATP per day.
Wow.
So ATP is constantly being made and used and then regenerated in the body. Each cell in the human body relies on ATP to carry out muscle contraction, nerve signaling, maintaining cellular integrity, which is what we say about magnesium doing.
Right.
So,
right.
You know, it's a biochemical reaction. You have pyruvate coming in at the top of the Krebs cycle, and it makes all these steps around a cycle, around a circle, creating chemical structures, which apparently have weight. And if you've got, you know, trillions of these mitochondria in the body, then that adds up. And you're using it's like your body weight in ATP every day. And you need nutrients in order to make that happen. You need your your diet, your glucose to go into the glycolysis cycle to create the pyruvate to go into the Krebs cycle. You need that, but you also need the potassium, magnesium, the B vitamins. I think copper's in there. So these nutrients are constantly being used up and you have to replace them. And we're just not doing that. In medicine, when our mitochondria kind of slow down, we're given drugs to treat the symptoms of mitochondrial disease. So, I mean, there are more things. Let's see what else I found from my 10 minutes with a book.
So what do you do? You just put it in the word searcher and you just look for the words? Oh my gosh, that's hilarious. So you're just like, if they're not going to talk seriously about magnesium, you're not interested because you don't think it's really expert information. Kind of sounds like. Yeah. Okay.
Well, I look at the chapter headings to see, is there anything new here? Is there any breakthroughs? And no, it's just a recycling of a bunch of hackneyed phrases about, pesticides and herbicides. No, you want solid information about what's going to help you. And, what we know about the human body, it has mechanisms to efficiently produce and recycle ATP, and the process of ATP synthesis occurs primarily in the mitochondria. And I've been saying this, through the breakdown of carbohydrates, fats, and proteins. And in this discussion, they don't even mention the need for magnesium and other vitamins and minerals. So I'm just repeating myself. I always talk ahead of myself. So yeah, magnesium is required specifically for the activation of ATP. It acts as a cofactor for many essential enzymes. I mean, it's up to like 800 enzymes. 80% of known metabolic function requires magnesium. And on and on and on. So there's that book report. But there's also, here's a good positive, there's a book offer. And it's about Danny Carroll, who does the German New Medicine.
Oh, right, okay.
Yeah. So he was reminding me the other day of his free ebook. And it's at Danny_Carroll, CARROLL.com. And the book is called, and I'm not going to say this word because we could get dumped for it. The book is Terminal C Word is a Misdiagnosis. So you can go to Danny_Carroll.com to get a free book. Terminal C Word is a Misdiagnosis. Do you know what I'm saying, Ginny?
I do. I just want to say one thing. It's Danny_Carroll. Danny_Carroll.
Oh, yeah. Not underscore.
Not underscore, but that's okay. I just checked it out online. I agree completely that we can't talk about this very important topic, but Danny Carroll kid. So that's great.
Danny told me he gets a lot of flack for what he's trying to do in educating people.
Yeah.
But yes, we have to be careful because I don't want our company being taken down because we're doing such good work.
Right. Very good. Very good. Now, let me ask you this. Somebody is writing in an unrelated kind of question, but it's still important, which is how often do you recommend doing a yeast detox cleanse?
Every day.
In
that, we're always going to be eating a little bit of sweets, a little bit of dairy, a little bit of gluten or wheat.
Okay.
So, because I tried to do a full-on yeast detox, no sugar, wheat, and dairy.
Right.
I mean, for like 10 years.
Right.
It was torture. And so I finally created some formulas that you take on a daily basis to help balance out your intestinal microbiome.
So you're saying through supplementation, you just keep it fresh.
Yeah. Yeah, it's the balance, because you can't kill off all your yeast and you don't want to. Yeast is necessary in the large intestine. And what we've done with the antibiotics, high sugar diet, massive stress that increases our cortisol, is we've fed our yeast and they've marched up from the large intestine into the small intestine and poked holes in the small intestine, creating leaky gut. And then, you know, we hear from the leaky gut people, oh, it's SIBO. It's small intestinal bacterial overgrowth. We should use antibiotics to treat that. So they're actually creating more yeast. People have just ignored the whole yeast overgrowth business. And I think that it's sort of the second major cause of chronic disease is yeast overgrowth with the 78 different yeast toxins that flood the body, they get through the leaky gut, and these toxins can affect the brain. They give us skin rashes. They block thyroid hormone. They cross-react with a lot of tissues in the body, a lot of organs. So we have to work with yeast on a daily basis, because you cannot starve this stuff away, I'm telling you.
Okay, very good. Well, that's great. That's a great answer. And also, if you have questions related to yeast or other factors that you don't get answered right here with Dr. Dean, feel free to email our customer service team. You can talk one-on-one to customer support at 888-577-3703. And then also after the show, if you want to put your emails to our customer support team or anytime that you encounter this archive, for sure, email customer service at questions@drcarolyndean.com. You'll see that coming through on the screen here, and that'll help you get the answers that you need. All right, Carolyn, what do you want to talk about now?
Well, here's a customer question that I think Meg sent me.
Okay.
And I was wondering about going over it as it was described to us, but we can't because there's so much medical.
Right.
Well, it's very medical, so we just couldn't do it. But let me say it this way, because it's an example of the types of customers that we do talk to. This person, a female, 80 years old, with over half dozen chronic medical conditions, a cupboard full of supplements. And what I said to Meg is, when I see a list like that, I often tell people that if you are still feeling this bad on all these supplements, it means they aren't working.
Yeah.
And they won't work until the cells get enough magnesium to make the energy to power your metabolic functions.
Right.
They won't work unless you have the omega-3. We use an omega-3 algae to make a strong cell membrane. They won't work until you get your vitamin D3 and K2 balanced to help so many genetic functions in the body and immune functions. And they won't work until you get your minerals balanced. And the minerals should be the picometer size stabilized mineral ions that will get into the cells. The cell mineral ion channels are picometer in diameter, and they'll only accept ions. If you throw mineral compounds at a picometer size mineral ion channel, nothing will happen. It won't get in. These compounds have to wait to disassociate in the blood into their two ionic components. And in the fraction of a second that they are disassociated, then they can jump into a cell, and they will do something. But that's why we are uniquely working with a picometer size stabilized mineral ion with all our minerals. They are stable, you know, 10, 20 years, I'm sure. You know, we've been at this for 12 years, I think, and we've got shelf life proof of that. So it's quite it's quite unique and revolutionary, and we're quiet about it because, you know, the FDA is already, you know, knocking on our door. So we have to be careful to say that we're not curing people. We're just supporting their cellular health.
That is correct. Well, and that's the best thing, right? Yeah. That is the best thing. Absolutely. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay. Excellent. We've got some other topics here on the show. I just want to run over again, questions at drcarolindean.com. Thank you for everybody for tuning in. Be sure to share and like this show, and be sure to leave your comment. If you're watching the show after the live broadcast has happened, we'd love to hear what you learned tonight in the comment box down below this video. And be sure to subscribe to Dr. Carolyn Dean's website, drcarolindean.com. Join our mailing list so that you can receive up-to-date information about these shows and other things that Carolyn is doing, because this is a busy year for Dr. Dean. She's got all kinds of great podcasts coming out. Send us your recommendation of what podcast you'd like to see her on too. We will get her on there. It's always fun when you're like, oh my gosh, Dr. Dean's on my podcast that I love watching. So that'd be fun. And just be sure to share this information with as many people as you can, as Melody Rose always says. So what's next, Carolyn? What'd you like to talk about?
New guidelines for atrial fibrillation.
Oh, okay. So
this is from Medscape, September 1st, 2024, a couple months ago. So updated guidelines for the management of atrial fibrillation. So what atrial fibrillation is there's two atria and two ventricles in the heart. And the atria on top is where the heart beat, the heart rhythm is initiated. And sometimes it can be affected. If you have a heart attack, it can scar and create atrial fibrillation. It can be created by an electrolyte imbalance. And that's where I started to look at minerals being important. And I'm not even going to say what minerals will help atrial fibrillation. You can come to my website and get more on that. So what this European Society of Cardiology began talking about is a new approach. Of course, I was interested. Oh, have they discovered magnesium? Common sense would tell you that minerals are the safest place to start, et cetera, et cetera. Instead, what does the article say? The identification and treatment of comorbidities and risk factors are the initial and central components of patient management.
Hmm.
What are these comorbidities, Jenny? Hypertension, which hypertension is the only claim we can make for magnesium being a factor in treating hypertension. So there's your hypertension. What other comorbidities? Heart failure, obesity, diabetes, alcohol consumption, and exercise. Most of these conditions are associated with magnesium deficiency. And that research can be found in PubMed and the National Library of Medicine. What is their recommendation? Well, it's going to be medications. I've always said, oh, yeah, they'll put them on statins and blood pressure pills and diabetes pills or whatever. But no, they've jumped to Mounjaro and Ozempic as the treatment for atrial fibrillation, Jenny.
Really? But they just showed that there's long-term cardiovascular risk from using those products. But actually, the study that I just saw yesterday was that Ozempic causes people to lose muscle mass, and they found it causes them to lose muscle mass in their heart, Carolyn. Oh my gosh.
Their first recommendation of the European cardiology, you know, clowns, is to use a weight loss drug. Now, it started as a diabetes drug because it stops you. It stops you from wanting to eat. It makes your stomach feel full and bloated, and you just don't have the desire to eat. So you lose weight. And obesity, being overweight, is a factor in all these conditions. So that's why they'll line up all the chronic diseases, and they won't say it's because it's associated with obesity and overweight that then they all decide to use Mounjaro and Ozempic. They don't say that. They just say, oh, this is the new treatment. They want to eliminate the risk factors, so they go after weight gain, because being overweight can cause all those conditions. Well, they're putting all their eggs in the Mounjaro Ozempic basket. Yeah. And you see, Ginny, about the timing, when they do these studies, they're short term, you know, 6 and 8 weeks, and then they can publish. It's often after, maybe 8 to 12 weeks that they see the side effects of these really toxic drugs, but the study doesn't go that far. So they can publish a study that looks good on paper, whereas all around you, people are experiencing the side effects. So they'll keep doing that until, you know, there are enough people kind of drop over with all the side effects. And then step two is anticoagulation, and that thins the blood so that blood clots can't form in a heart chamber that's fibrillating. So if the blood can't get out and it's just rolling around in the atrium, it could clot. But it's not going to clot if you're hydrated, you know, if you have enough minerals. If there are things that you can do naturally, there are things that they do in Japan for clotting, but we can't talk about them. But in all this about the new guidelines, for atrial fibrillation, nothing about magnesium or potassium in their approach. And I think next week I might get to talking about how doctors now are so overwhelmed with all the drugs that they have to learn about that they are operating on cookbook medicine.
Yeah.
They look at guidelines, tell them what to do. And the guidelines will never include nutrients.
Wow, that's crazy. I just read that yesterday. That just blows me away. Wow. Okay, well, there we go. So much for making America healthy again. Well, I guess we'll just keep going with what we're doing. It's very important, isn't it, Carolyn?
Yeah, I mean, I seem really critical. I am very critical. I think people need to know this. It's like constantly being reminded that what doctors are being forced to do in their clinic situations, they're no longer in charge. Doctors are not in charge of their own practices. When they join a clinic, join an HMO, or, you know, get a salary, work 9 to 5, you know, they're subject to what their boss tells them to do.
Yeah.
Including the time spent, what to prescribe, who to refer to, because there's a whole kickback system there. Yeah. So, I mean, I got out of practicing medicine at the right time. Although up in Canada, it was pretty socialist medicine anyway. They hauled me up once for being a low income doctor. They couldn't believe it, because it's all socialized. You put in the amount that you're billing, and they keep track of what they're paying people. They couldn't believe that I was doing this, whatever, so many hours a week, and I was making so little. And what I was doing is just spending time with people. and they had an auditor come in, and whatever they were doing. And at the end of it, I think I had to pay a $2,000 fine. So I said to this guy that was auditing, oh, I guess that pays your salary for the week. And he kind of, you know, grimaced. Oh, wow. It's a crazy system, you know, because so what's happening now is all the clinics are watching everything a doctor does. They'll even get reports from pharmacies to show if the doctor is not prescribing the standard amount of medication, and right. they'll come after them.
Right. Wow. Wow. Okay. Wow. Do we have some good news on the horizon, Carolyn?
No.
Oh.
My next article is another Medscape, August 2024. There's a novel non-hormonal drug effective for menopausal hot flashes, sleep disturbance. So what do we find out about that? Two phase three trials show safety and efficacy against moderate to severe hot flashes and sleep disturbance. And the drug inhibits the hypothalamic neurons that have 2 million mitochondria in them. It inhibits them expressing their neurokinin 1-3 receptor that mediates hot flashes. Now, my question always is, what else does that neurokinin 1-3 receptor mediate besides hot flashes? What are they interfering with? So lo and behold, a few months later, the FDA warned that its cousin drug, you know, because a drug company will make a drug and then they'll, you know, another company will, you know, do spying on them and figure out, oh, they're making this, let's make a similar one. So they found out a cousin of this first drug that had been, I guess, approved by the FDA could cause rare but serious liver injury. Now, when you hear them report that, wow. when they will even mention it, it means it's a little more than rare. They, right. you know, because they hide this stuff. So they said treatment discontinuation may, operative word there, may prevent worsening liver injury and may potentially return liver function to normal. No. The FDA explained.
Explain. Yeah.
Will the FDA let me say that giving yourselves the right nutrients can help menopause symptoms? Can I say that, Ginny?
Yes, the right nutrients. Yes, you can.
Okay. So there's that. I mean, the good news, you know, Ginny asked, you know, or it's the good news. The good news is us. The good news is what we're doing and the dietary supplements, the advice we give, the firm that I support here. I have, you know, we're leading by example. We're doing the good work with this farm and showing people how you can stay healthy and what all of us need to do.
Right.
So this next one though is about, it's about farming, but it's not good. The Natural Health 365, Jonathan Landsman, he's interviewed me in the past. And his article, December 2024, the U.S. approves world's first GMO wheat grown with banned neurotoxin herbicide. So there you go. The wheat is now ruined. The USDA approved GM wheat that is grown with glufosinate ammonium, which inhibits glutamine synthetase. Now, glutamine is a very important amino acid. You cannot be going around inhibiting glutamine if some of that herbicide stays in the food, which we know it does. It's been banned in the European Union due to its serious risks. Exposure is linked to mouth ulcers, abdominal pain, nausea, vomiting, diarrhea, sore throat, low blood pressure, slow heart rate, drowsiness, headaches, agitation, tremors, stupor, confusion, dizziness, seizures, retrograde amnesia, hypoxia, shortness of breath, coma, and respiratory failure. No publicly available studies or documentation prove its safety. No credible evidence supports the claim that it is drought resistant, which is why they say they're using it. And it does not even have a higher productivity compared to conventional wheat. What's the solution? Once again, buy organic. At this point, foods with the certified organic seal are prohibited from containing GMOs at this point. I mean, that could change because, you know, if you've got a GMO field here and an organic field beside it, you're going to get spread or whatever they call it. You're going to get contamination. So all we can do is buy organic, and buying organic demonstrates the power of the purse. The more people that buy organic, the more that organic farming will hopefully become funded. I mean, I'm funding our farm over here because bankers won't help out the farmers. The Department of Agriculture is not helping out these small organic farmers. And so wherever possible, buy directly from local farms, join a CSA, or start one. So there.
Good. Very, very good. Well, I like the idea of starting a CSA or being involved, you know, and that way. And it's kind of shocking the things that are being approved, but I guess that's all just lobbying, right? And so I guess the answer for the common person really is to just take your choices into your own hand and avoid industrial foods. Right?
Okay. Any more questions before I press on?
We have a couple questions about using the products, but we're going to turn those over to customer service. So you may continue to press on, Carolyn.
Okay. Now, I always have a hard time pronouncing some of these drug names. Denosumab. Something like that. Denosumab may offer better fracture protection for dialysis patients. So what the heck does this mean? You know, the articles I read in Medscape, this is from MedPage today, January 6, 2025. They're just getting more and more complicated, more and more focused on really rare conditions or really strange medications. A lot of them are biologics that are injectable. And this one is here, yes. This drug is given by subcutaneous injection. In a clinical trial reported in the Annals of Internal Medicine, there were more myocardial infarctions than with bisphosphonate, you know, the Fosamax drug, with a 36% higher risk for a major adverse cardiovascular event.
This is so, on this drug. They're admitting that it's worse than the other one, and they are still approving it and want you to take it.
Well, it's still on the market as I understand it. So the bisphosphonates are generally considered the first line treatment to prevent fractures in osteoporosis, but have been tied to chronic kidney disease. So the Fosamax bisphosphonates are affecting the kidney. It should be used with caution in these patients. Golly, it's crazy. But it may offer better fracture protection, this new one. And then when they look at the details, you may get a heart attack. And, you know, what do you need for protecting your bones when you're getting dialysis? I mean, I've got this in my Magnesium Miracle book, which is here. I talk about dialysis draining out magnesium and other minerals, I'm sure. But dialysis patients, it's well known that they have soft bones, they get fractures, they get heart palpitations, they get horrible leg cramps. And, you know, our friend up north, I guess I won't mention his name because he's gotten quite famous with his books. But when I visited him, you know, maybe 10, 15 years ago up in his clinic, he's a kidney specialist, and his main thing is putting diabetic patients on dialysis as their kidneys fail. And I said, what do you do about all the heart palpitations, leg cramps, and all that are really magnesium deficiency? And he said, oh, we put magnesium in their IV, and that helps a lot. And I said, when are you going to publish that? And he said, no, I don't think I can do that, because it goes against the prevailing, I don't know, myth or whatever, that kidney patients should not take magnesium.
Right.
Because if the magnesium builds up because it's not cleared by the kidneys, too much magnesium can affect the heart. You know, way high magnesium can affect the heart. Just as much as low magnesium. So they haven't gotten the balance yet. They don't know about the picometer magnesium.
Right.
So that's what's happening with poor dialysis patients. You should read my book. You want to hear about an Alzheimer's blood test, Ginny?
Is it good news yet? No? No good news. Oh, gosh. I want to talk about, let's talk about Death by Modern Medicine, your book that is coming out. That's really good news.
That's a real positive title, isn't it?
Well, it is not. It's not a positive. It's a positive that you understood it so long ago. That's what I think is positive, that it's such a prophetic, to me, insight. You know, in 2003 and 2005, when you were writing this, I wasn't thinking any of these things that are happening in our modern day. But you had them all in your heart, and you could see the eventuality of where we were going. And I think it would be, you know, maybe that's part of the reason, you know, your commitment to continue to point out where the deficiencies in the industry and this whole pharma complex is, and what people really have to do to gird their loins, so to speak, and protect themselves, because it's probably not going to change anytime. It's changing, but it needs to change more quickly, but individuals are going to make that change.
Yeah, definitely modern medicine. I started writing it over in Europe when I was attending a couple of meetings of the Codex Alimentarius in 2003, 2005. And I just saw the writing on the wall. Codex is an organization of the World Health Organization and the World Trade Organization. And they were trying to standardize the amount of poisons that they would allow in foods and the amount of dietary supplements that they would allow to be sold. And their basic modus operandi was to keep dietary supplements synthetic and low potency so that they wouldn't interfere with drugs. And it's like, you know, a big light bulb went off that, you know, we were in for it. We were doomed that around the world, dietary supplements were being attacked. And what I've done in my world, I mean, partly because I was so magnesium deficient and I had the laxative effect from magnesium, I had to create picometer stabilized magnesium ion that's non-laxative. And that and all the other formulas are very low potency, so they'll never be whacked by the Codex rules. And hopefully with the new administration, dietary supplements won't be under such attack. But at the very, very same time, the pharmaceutical companies, the hospitals, administrators, they've taken over the dietary supplement business. A lot of companies have sold out to big pharma and big food, etc., so that now those formulas that they're making, those supplements, are cheap and synthetic, etc. They are beholding to their stockholders, so everything is cheapened so that they can just sell supplements as a widget instead of something that your body craves to make your cells healthy.
Right. Very cool. Yeah. Well, Carolyn, this has been an action-packed show. It's top of hour, 8 o'clock. So much good information. Now, Robin was asking if you could say again the name of that study that you were just talking about, Fizmax.
Okay. Denosumab may offer better fracture protection for dialysis patients. MedPage today, January 6, 2025. And denosumab is, you know, spelled a different way than it's pronounced, actually. D-E-N-O-S-U-M-A-B.
All right. Very good. Thank you, everybody, for joining us. This another fantastic show. Next week, we'll be back. Next week, Rachel will be back with us. Yay! And we've got so many great things going on. We're going to be talking about all kinds of good stuff. Stay tuned, stay safe, and stay with us as we go on this journey. And be sure to share, share, share.
Yeah, it's interesting. A lot of podcasts, they end with something like, you know, stay healthy, stay free, stay whatever. So we'll have to come up with something. Stay lively, for Pete's sakes. Stay That's lively.
Right. Stay lively. There you go. Stay lively. Very good. Thanks, everybody.
Thanks, everybody. Aloha.
Aloha.